To help you get an image of what I'm about to speak, I want to use an analogy from a movie that I'm hoping that most, if not all of you, have seen. It's called The Princess Bride. Okay, good, a number of you have seen it. So the movie centers around two main characters, Wesley and Buttercup. Buttercup is the daughter of the farmer who Wesley works for. And as he works for this farmer, Buttercup and Wesley start to fall in love. But yet for the first half of the movie, actually it's more like a quarter, whenever Buttercup asks something from Wesley, whatever it might be, can you get this pot for me? Can you help me with this? He would always respond, as you wish. He had no other lines in the movie until the kind of plot thickens, but whatever. So the question is, why did he say that? What was his intention for saying, as you wish? We have to kind of read into it a little bit. On one level, we could say it's because he loves her so much, he wants to do whatever she asks. It could also be out of duty. I'm doing this because you are the daughter of my employer, therefore I will do whatever you ask. We're not entirely sure. We can assume from the rest of the movie what he experiences. But ultimately, we're trying to figure out the intention. Now that same idea runs into all of our readings for today. What is the intention? And what we're being challenged with is to recognize on our own level, why do I do the things that I do? What is my intention behind things? Take, for instance, our first reading today from the book of Genesis. We meet two main characters, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah is not a really big part of our story for today, but I'll add more to it so we explain the rest of the reading. So here Abraham is out in the middle of the land of Canaan doing his thing, pitching his tent, moving around with his cattle, whatever, and these three men show up. And notice Abraham's response. These three men come up and he bows to the ground and says, let me get you some food, let me get you some water, whatever you need, I'll get it for you, please stay here. He bends over backwards for these people. Now in that time period, it was very important to be hospitable. Hospitality was the number one most important law. So very important that most of the laws are based under this idea of hospitality. If there is a guest in your midst, you take care of them. To give you an extreme example, Sodom and Gomorrah have two main sins connected with them. The sexual sin that we're all familiar with, but the more biblical sense is hospitality. The two people that came to stay with Lot were being treated horribly as guests. And that's the main core point of that story. You do not treat guests poorly. So here Abraham is bound by the laws of hospitality. These people come to his house and he must provide for them. But he doesn't just provide for them. Look at the gravity to which he provides. Please stay here as long as you need. Let me get you some food. Let me get you my best fatted calf. Let me make sure you have some water. Rest as long as you need. I will do whatever you want. But why? What was so important about these three figures that he wanted to bend over backwards to help them? That's the big question. The church fathers are very clear on one point. The three people that come to meet Abraham are representations of God, the three persons of the Trinity. So Abraham recognizes that there's something different about these guests, something fundamentally different, to the point that he wants to go as far as he can to provide for them. And to show what that means, they sit under a tree, a detail that we might be kind of overlooking. Whenever someone sits under a tree, it means they are teachers. So in a sense, they are teaching Abraham something important, and he wants to hear what they're about to say. Now, on the other hand, we have Sarah, who is not really a big figure in today's first reading. She's kind of just there doing what Abraham told her. But the next passage following our first reading talks about Sarah's response to Abraham's hospitality. So here Abraham provides all these things, bends over backwards for these three people, and they say, next year we will return and you will have a son. Abraham is static, goes back to his wife Sarah, at that point Sarai, and says, guess what? We're going to have a son. And she laughs, which is why her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. Sarah meaning the one who laughed. How she gets stuck with that name. Anyways, so she laughs. She doesn't believe what has just happened. Her intention was to do whatever Abraham told her and not worry about the rest. Abraham's intention was to care for these people as best as he possibly could. See the difference in intention. Let's take that same idea and run it to the gospel. So in our gospel today, we have two big characters, Martha and Mary. Martha is busy doing her job, cleaning up, serving, doing all these things for the dinner. Mary is with Jesus, listening to his every word. Martha, who a lot of us can sympathize with, like honestly, who hasn't been so burdened by work? You're like, come on, help me. Stop sitting on the floor and do your job. We get it, right? We sympathize with Martha. But we have to read through the details of what's going on. So Martha comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, look at my sister. She's not doing her job. Make her do her job. I'm overburdened by everything going on. And then Jesus responds in a very curious way. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There's only one thing to worry about. There's only one important thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. Which then makes us wonder, what is that one thing? It's not clear. It's actually incredibly not clear. We can wonder about it, and it seems like what Jesus is trying to tell Martha is, don't be worried, don't be anxious, do what you feel is best, and keep that as your intention. If you are so worried about it because you want other people involved or you want something else, then you're actually asking for something different. What is your general intention? Is it to serve or is it to make everyone else do their proper jobs? Because Mary, we have to keep in mind, is supposed to be in the kitchen. According to N.T. Wright, the British biblical theologian, all the women of the time were supposed to go into the kitchen and work and do their thing, and after dinner, all the men would go into a room and talk politics and religion and stuff. So Mary has broken social code. Martha knows this. She's supposed to be in the kitchen. She's supposed to be serving, and she's not. And no one calls her out for it. So Martha is doing two things. She's recognizing the social code has been broken, but she's also recognizing that she wants help. Mary, on the other hand, wants to be near Jesus. She doesn't care what's going on. She wants to hear Jesus' words, and her intention is very pure, even if it's not the normal thing people would do. So we have to also be careful with our intentions, because intentions really do drive our actions and become our motivating force for a lot of what we do. And we want our intention to be good and pure. We want to have our intention to be love and service of God. As an example, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who wanted to do everything out of her love for God, was once asked to clean the bathrooms in the monastery. So she said, I'm going to clean these bathrooms with my great love of God. So she cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And Mother Superior came in to inspect and said, wow, I can tell someone really loves God. See, our intentions very much so affect our actions. The same thing works when we think of very negative things, like lying, cheating, and stealing. Can we have a good intention and a bad action? Absolutely. The example would be the playbook movie Les Miserables, where we have Jean Valjean, who steals bread to feed his family. Is it wrong to steal, or is it wrong to have his family starve? We have a dilemma, and that's the dilemma of the movie book play. This is the issue we also run into. What is our intention? And so I encourage all of you, as we reflect on these words, what is my intention for what I do? What is it that motivates me, that encourages me? What is my core idea behind what I do? Even prayer can be bad. I'm praying because I want to be here with God, or I'm praying because look at me. I'm so great at prayer. Look how much time I spent in prayer. Isn't this awesome? Nope, that would be a bad intention. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, reflect on your intentions. Why am I doing what I do? How can I purify them, bring them back into their core true goodness, which is God, and really have my intention be God and God alone?